Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I have to tell you, up here in the Pacific Northwest, spring is just busting her buttons. It is just absolutely gorgeous out here, and wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying beautiful weather, too. We are going to be going through some adventures, and so you are going to, I think, have a great deal of fascinating fun, especially when your imagination gets a hold of you, because we're going to be talking about some ghosts. It's always good to talk about ghosts. Of course, it's not spooky and late at night when we're talking about it, which would probably be even better. But my guest today is Dana Smoller, and these are about the ghosts of New Orleans. Dana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Now, what I think is so fascinating about this particular book, one, you have the most exquisite photograph of this gorgeous, gorgeous home on the book, and also the fact that this is a publication that's by the ISPR group that was founded by Dr. Larry Montz in 1972. And this is a group that is internationally renowned for its study of ghosts and the paranormal. I mean, they've investigated properties worldwide. Of course, we're just going to focus on one specific area, New Orleans, who has, I mean, it has just such a phenomenal history. How in the world did you get involved with this? You seem like such a nice person.
Thanks. You sound just like my parents.
Oh, I always loved that. Blame it on your parents. Okay, what did your parents do? How did this all get started?
Actually, back in January of 1995, I went to New Orleans with my best friend, Ruthie. Mm-hmm. And we just went for a week, and it was there that I actually met Dr. Larry Montz and found out about ghost expeditions, which had only been in operation for a few months, and it was a relatively new thing. By studying haunted properties on a continuous basis and also the psychic abilities of participants of ghost expeditions. So it was kind of pretty wild. Anyway, so I dragged my best friend to participate in one of these because she's just like really a scaredy cat. She hates anything supernatural.
Oh, that's the best person to take along is someone that can't stand spooks to do paranormal research. Perfect.
Absolutely. So we participated in this ghost expedition, and like I said, it was in its infancy. Everybody else in the group had all kinds of experiences except for me. And here I was like the biggest cheerleader for it. And so Dr. Muntz had several people had asked for his business card, and so I took one. And I'm sure he regretted it because that kind of left many messages during the week. You know, how come I didn't experience anything? I didn't see anything. I didn't feel anything. And I was just acting extremely immature. And keep in mind, I don't drink, so it was not the influence of alcohol. And we actually ran into him at the 8th District Police Station later on in the week, and he says, well, I've been working on some investigations, and I've gotten your messages, so if you two would like, I'll take you into some properties I've been working on that have nothing to do with ghost expeditions. So, of course, I was excited. Ruthie was bummed out. And he took us into some properties where both Ruthie and I had some very in-our-face experiences. And she went home and couldn't sleep for a month, and I went home and thought, wow, this just kind of gives me a different perspective on things. And about 6 months later, things changed in my personal life where I was able to pick up and move and work with him. And I actually made a deal with Dr. Larry and said, give me a scientific apprenticeship and tell me, teach me why this isn't not credible, and I will use my advertising and marketing background to make you and Ghost Expeditions famous. So he did, and I did.
Yes, I mean, life has so many intriguing twists and turns, and I would say it's probably 1 in 500,000 that ever decide they want to become a paranormal investigator, because it really is something that with the developments of technology in the past, I'd say 10 years, it's enabled some of this research to become much more usable and believable. But you used to have your own radio show, and you, as you said, you were in advertising, and you also worked in junior achievement and were an instructor for that. And then you decided that you were going to study to become an empath and a medium. Tell us what you did in your studies to accelerate your own skills.
Well, actually, I was there to really employ my marketing and advertising background. And as I was able to accompany Dr. Muntz and the team on different investigations, and they did allow me to use a Polaroid camera, because basically any monkey can do that, and that's what I was qualified to do. And so I really wasn't a member of the team, but I needed to see firsthand what was going on in order to employ my advertising skills to that. And as I spent all this time in the field, and then with the other members of the investigative team, my own abilities started opening up, and they were I was having experiences similar to what I had experienced the majority of my life, but really up until that time had chalked it up to, you know, I didn't have enough sleep, I, you know, saw it on TV, it's my overactive imagination, and here I was getting validation for things that were happening. And so that was kind of crazy. And then because I didn't come to the team as a psychic or as a paranormal researcher wannabe, Dr. Muntz basically said, well, as part of your internship, since I was getting very, very interested in it, I had to start conducting ghost expeditions, which put me in the field three times a day for a few hours at a clip and dealing with all kinds of people. And so I ended up, I mean, 7 days a week, I ended up, by the time I left New Orleans, had about 1,300 ghost expeditions under my belt. So it was a lot of it was a lot of hours of field work, and I would say like maybe in the first few months with the same kinds of experiences taking place, I was thinking, you know what, I'm probably kind of an expert, and I certainly know a lot. And then a year later, it's like, wow, there are so many things happening. I am not an expert. I have so much to learn. And I figured that there's a lot of things out there that I will probably never really learn or understand fully, because maybe it's not my job. But I have understood, I have come to the understanding now what my job has been, my role with ISPR over the last 12 years. And so if I don't learn anything else, I'm okay, but I'm sure there's still a lot more to learn.
Well, my goodness, there'd never be a boring conversation. Think of all the spooks you can talk about, which is what we're going to go into for just a little bit here. And by the way, my guest today is Dana Smoller, and we're talking about this wonderful book, The Ghosts of New Orleans. Now, what is so super about this book is that the photos that are throughout the book are awesome. But more than that, every place has its story. Dana, let's start out with the Bourbon Orleans Hotel, however you're going to pronounce it.
Sure,
and that's
Bourbon
Orleans. 717 Orleans Street. Tell us about that.
Okay, the Bourbon Orleans, what happened there is one of the managers there had an incident happen under her shift, and so she's the one that originally brought Dr. Larry and his team in, and I was lucky enough to be part of that. And what originally had happened is they have a little kitchen off the main ballroom, and there was a chef working in there preparing for a party coming up, and he was the only one working in the kitchen. And at one point, the lights all turned off in the kitchen, and he felt that, like, he was smacked across the face very, very hard. And he let an explicative go. And anyway, he did suffer a little bruise on his face, and he quit on the spot. And so the management brought us in, and we ran into several different entities, and they were substantiated later on as well. We've had many guests and workers here who have had the same experiences, and so of course we did the history or, you know, some background history research afterwards, found out at one point it was a convent.
Uh-huh.
And an orphanage, and which probably explained one of the apparitions of a nun walking around, and a few different children. But we also found other entities too that dated back, if I remember correctly, in the 1700s and the 1800s. And this was a property that we used to bring ghost expeditions, the groups into, to see if they experienced anything. And this is, of course, after the investigation. And these groups, different people from all over the country and sometimes from other countries as well, would have this, they have experiences with the same, they would identify the same entities over and over and over.
Didn't the place ever get crowded with all these spooks? Didn't they run into each other?
Well, actually, what we have determined is that they are aware of each other, and it's just kind of like up to them if they want to interact or not. Kind of like going to the mall on Saturday. There's
mm-hmm.
10,000 other people, but how many people jump out in front of you and say, hey, we must do lunch. We must become friends. So there are reasons why the different entities choose different people with which to communicate.
I think that as I was being a little bit of a stinker when I asked that question, because when you're
That's
describing
okay.
the different time periods, but you've done a wonderful job with your analogy about being in a mall, and you go to different places. We have in our neighborhood a particular restaurant. The owners of the restaurant don't like to publicize, but the employees don't like to go up to the attic because there are
uh-huh.
personalities that are up in the attic. And so in my talking with different people in the neighborhood, I find out that we've got a lot of spooks that are out wandering around. We've even got one in our own home. And
uh-huh.
it's just delightful conversation, I mean, to share your spooky stories with different people. And then you'll have some people saying, this is so disappointing. I've never encountered one in my entire life. And it's so much fun to talk about these ghosts and, the different time frames and how... For whatever reason, certain personalities will stay and they won't move on. And other times, it's like you've got a frame of time that seems to be frozen, and then all of a sudden it's activated for whatever reason, and it plays a particular series of frames of movement, and then it clicks off.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really amazing. You have also a story in here about the ghost expedition you did in the office and courtyard at 635 Toulouse Street.
Toulouse, yes.
Yes. Tell us about that one.
Let me see. I have to tell you, it has been many, many years since I've even looked at this book. And we had so many experiences in that huge courtyard with our little office in the back. It was really very cool.
Oh, and your photographs of this courtyard, they're just so exquisite.
And unfortunately, it's not in color. It just doesn't even do it justice. It was
right.
so beautiful.
Now, James von Prague was involved with this, and you were talking about the negative energy that was in
yes.
that courtyard.
Yes, it was very strange. After I learned how to conduct ghost expeditions, and actually it just really took off. You know, it received a lot of international publicity, and we were just cranking all the time. It was not unlikely to run several groups for each time slot, and my mind just went away.
Well, then let's move on to Jackson Square. Because your ghost expedition at the office and courtyard, you made a comment saying the negative energy and its ramifications are often
yeah.
easier to recognize and document.
Yes, and actually, I would like to touch on that because I think it's important for other people to understand, you know, the concept of
sure.
you know, positive and negative energy. In this particular spot in New Orleans, there's a lot of people that are practicing energy manipulation, and they call it a lot of different terms. And
mm-hmm.
And not everybody is friends down there. And it was very interesting that we would have other employees working in the office, and they would call Dr. Munzer, some of the other psychics, and say the courtyard is extremely dark right now, and people are just walking by. They won't even look. And so we would have the different psychics basically dispersed the energy, and we had a good idea where it was coming from. It was very dark. It was very negative. And as soon as the energy was dispersed, it was wild that the atmosphere of the courtyard just lightened up. It brightened up, and all of a sudden, people are flooding through the gates again.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened all the time. So,
fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that was one of the first things that I was taught about energy. And a lot of times I would take a break in the afternoon and walk through the quarter. And the quarter has very narrow sidewalks. And there's a lot of tourists, and late in the afternoon, a lot of people, they're, you know, kind of sweaty and smelly and everything. And so I would walk towards groups of tourists that were blocking the sidewalk, and even though I had a smile on my face, I knew what I was thinking. I was kind of exuding some negative energy, and they would part and let me walk right through the middle. So I figured if I could do it, people who focused on doing it could do it well.
Jackson Square, there's so much history in New Orleans. And of course,
yes, there is.
Hurricane Katrina and all of the damage that was done there. I'd hope that some of these places were not touched, but I don't know. Is Jackson Square still as it was?
Most of the quarter is still intact. There was some damage to some of the properties, but the quarter, because the hurricane made a little shift at the last moment, did not go directly through New Orleans. They were very lucky because they were very afraid that it would change the course of the Mississippi. Not only would the French Quarter flood, but it would dump about 20 feet of mud. And I don't think the buildings really could have sustained that.
Now, let's talk about the square itself, because this has so much interesting history. It's the city's oldest section, and there are so many different buildings: the St. Louis Basilica, the Presbytère, the Cabildo. And the Cabildo was built in 1799, and its courtyard used to be a slave quarter, but it was actually utilized as a prison during the War of 1812. What the police, boy, have they had the museum police. They've had some interesting experiences there.
Yes, yes. And what's kind of funny is when I started working with ISPR, I found out that the Cabildo was rented out quite often by different event planners for different, you know, convention parties.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them tended to be semi-black tied. And there was this one entity of a former slave that was held captive in the property many, many years prior. And he would walk around, and people would hold their trays of orders or their drinks, and he would just, like, pop his hand underneath whatever they were holding and send everything flying. And
oh, boy.
There were a lot of complaints, but not a lot was done about it. Because at that time, too, it was prior to everybody, you know, just like, oh, wow, the paranormal, yes, let me see a ghost. A lot of these properties did not want to be known as haunted. They did not want that information out there, and they thought that it was really going to hurt their business. So a lot of these things were kind of kept under wraps.
Well, I know with the museum police, it was fascinating to me that you made the statement that they often were pushed in the hallways, even down the stairs, but they didn't happen to female officers. It only happened to the male officers.
Right, because at the time that it was used as a prison, and prison cells in the courtyard there, there were no female guards, security guards, police officers. They were all males. I mean, we're talking a long time prior to modern day, and so the entity doesn't recognize female officers as, you know, a position of authority. And I have found that very interesting in the different entities that I've dealt with. They deal with me differently depending on what time period they're from.
It's intriguing. It's so intriguing.
Yes.
Now, my guest today is Dana Smoller. The book is The Ghost of New Orleans. And this has been in association with the organization, the ISPR, which Dana has been so much involved with for so many years. Dana, with the La Petite Theater, that is on Peter Street.
Right.
The employees were doing, just like what I said with this restaurant, they didn't want to go into the attic of this theater. Give us a little bit of history on this theater in New Orleans.
At one point, Le Petit was the governor's house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone through a lot of changes. And in the property, when you walk in, there's a Helen Hayes foyer. And it's huge. Foyer, sorry about that. And then there is the main community theater with the stage and the ground floor seats and then the balcony seats. And then on the other side of the property is Teddy's Corner, and that's another theater, and they use that pretty much to teach children, drama, comedy,
mm-hmm.
and how to act. Upstairs, in the attic is huge, and it's shaped like a giant L, and that's where they keep all the props and all the costumes, and it's really, really crowded with props and costumes up there. And that is where the employees had the most negative experiences, where they felt the most frightened. And there have been several times where we had been called in late at night, which, you know, we were working late at night, so that was okay. And then we would go in over there. And you know, these employees, they would try to walk up the back steps, the back cement steps up into the attic, but knew that someone was standing at the top and just, you know, were absolutely panicked and could not make it into the property. There was this one particular instance, which is just remarkable, and I'm still having, years later, a hard time wrapping my head around it. I was up there with a group of people, and we were looking down this long hallway, and it just seemed like a few minutes had passed. We were all standing there, and we were standing there in the dark, and you could see an L-shaped, like a door opening way at the other end. And there was light emanating, and there was no source of the light because there were no windows, there were no cracks in the wall to allow this. And we saw figures come out of this like doorway, and then it closed, and it was just the freakiest thing, one of the freakiest things I'd ever seen. Of course, this was early on in my experience with ISBR.
Wow, it sounds like you had the time frame door to whatever open up for you.
Yes, I think so. And truthfully, it's just something I don't quite understand. So,
isn't that wonderful? Just think that you're going to be able to puzzle about that until it's solved, and maybe it'll never be solved. And isn't that great?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's just so much. And with the theater, there were a lot of children. And I know your story here in 1991,
yes,
where someone said one of the workers began to cry and something unseen was blocking the door and nobody could get close.
Right. And there were seven children. And if I remember correctly, seven children. They were all from different time periods. You could tell by their clothing. Except
mm-hmm.
the most recent one was, Stephanie Ann. And she was unfortunately raped and killed in the Garden District. I think it was in the Garden District. In 1991, she was in the theater and was probably attracted by the energy of the other children. And then there was also an adult female entity that used to hang around with the children who was very sweet. So she was there. However, she cried a lot. She was very upset. And there were several Ghost Expedition participants that would walk in and get her name and start crying as well without seeing her. And
fascinating stories.
Yes, but she was moved to another property with two live little girls that she used to play with.
Oh, really?
Yes, because there was also a slave. His name was Perry, and he used to hang out for the most part in the attic. He didn't mingle too much with the workers of the property or the patrons. And Stephanie was very afraid of her, afraid of him, and he was very intimidating. So that was one of the reasons why she was moved.
You have another story in here, and it's the Shalimar Indian Cuisine restaurant on Wilkinson Row. And you talk about an Indian Zeke, a holy man who protects the family. And you have nighttime ghost visitations here.
Yes.
I should say ghost expeditions.
Yes. It's very funny. They actually had wonderful food, too. You ate a lot of brunches there. But I one of my most distinct memories of that property was taking an expedition group upstairs into the top dining room, and it was just a gorgeous dining room, and I was in the middle of all these people, and I was telling them about this gentleman and how old he is and how he's been following maternal lineage of this family. Okay, he seems to follow and was there to protect the mother, actually. And I guess whatever I was saying to describe him or to speak about him didn't come across as respectful. And the next thing I knew, I had this gentleman in my face, and he's much larger than I am, and I was backing up, and there were several people in the group that also felt him, and there must have been about 30 people or so in this group. They all moved to the other side of this dining room while I was being backed up against this other wall, and I was apologizing, and I guess it just means you can't count on other people you don't know to save you when an entity is angry with you.
Well, as you can tell, Dana is a very interesting lady, and there would be no boring conversations with her if you wanted to swap ghost stories or listen to wonderful experiences she's had. Dana, do you have a website, or is there a website that people that might be interested in ghost expeditions or would like to know more about this could go to?
I'm sorry, Donna, you're very much breaking up. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine. What I was asking is, do you have a website or anything that people can go to? We have about a minute before we'll be closing out for...
To find out more information about the ISPR, that's at ispr.net. And Ghost Expeditions has its own website, which is ghostexpeditions.com.
ghostexpeditions.com. Well, do you have any words of wisdom before we close out this ghostly interview?
Oh, I wish I did. I wish I was that brilliant. I think one of the best pieces of advice I have is to try and learn from as many sources as you can in any topic in which you're interested in, and whatever rings true, try and follow that the most.
Well, I know that the study of ghosts, the study of the paranormal, is always fascinating, and your life has been made so much more interesting, and you're a delightful individual to chat with, and I'm so glad you were able to share the airwaves with us today.
Well, thank you, Donna. Are you sure my parents didn't pay you to say that?
Yes.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
You're welcome. And you have a fabulous life. And when you come out with your next book, you need to let me know.
I definitely will. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome, Dana. Don't forget, their website is ispr.net or ghostexpeditions.com. And if you want the book, The Ghosts of New Orleans, Dana Smoller has been my guest. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Those telephone lines are open now. If you'd like to give me a buzz, call me at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or if you'd like to call in from Canada, the telephone number is 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I came across a small poem by Sarah Dush, and I really think it's delightful. March, spring is just right here, at least in the Pacific Northwest, and it's such a joy to see the flowers, you know, just coming up through the soil and the buds forming, and the crocus now are out, and all of the yellows and purples and oranges are just so pretty after such a cold winter that we've had here. And this is a poem that Sarah wrote, and I wanted to share it with you. She said, "The March wind blows in with all its might while tree boughs bend throughout the night. Branches still bare, waiting for the day when buds start blooming in their springtime way." And yes, we've had some winds here, and today is just gloriously, gloriously beautiful. And I hope wherever you are, you're enjoying the same kind of beauty. And if it's a little bit crisp and toasty where you are, well, just snuggle up to our listening environment of bbsradio.com. Sit back, relax, have a cup of tea and a cookie, and you just got it made. You got a lot of things to be grateful for. I want to let you know who's going to be on the air with me. We're going to be talking with a nurse tomorrow, Elaine DeLacq. This is very significant. I've had the pleasure of talking with this lady, and I'm really looking forward to interviewing her about her book, They Said It Didn't Make Sense, and that's C-E-N-T-S, the Prokaren story. If you know of anyone who has suffered from the debilitating disease of MS, you're not going to want to miss this. This is very, very important. This woman's life has been dedicated to defeating the very disease that attacked her, and she's living a full life today because of what she discovered. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Also, we will be having Gina Poole, who's going to be with us. We're going to be talking about marketing for the small business. Then Bob Buccio is going to be telling us how we can make space for ourselves in life. Do you ever feel as if you're in a time vise and you can't breathe and you're wondering, how can you possibly get everything done? You're just so busy, 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 busy. Well, Bob has some recommendations. And then also Jennifer Lowden is going to be our guest this week. We're going to be talking about how we can organize things. Yes, organization is a key about making life a little bit richer and a little bit better. Also, I want to let those of you know that are in the Pacific Northwest, I'm going to be doing an appearance at the Northwest Women's Show. It's an annual event, and I just absolutely am delighted to be invited to participate again this year. I'll be doing a presentation each day, the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th. And, of course, those presentations are free. And come on over to my booth, which is 406, and we'll be glad to chat with you. I'll be doing many consultations there. This is a show that's from 10 in the morning until 6 at night, and it's just primarily oriented towards the gals of the world. And, oh, what a wonderful time you're going to have. It's so much fun. So put it down on your calendar if you're in the Pacific Northwest. If you're in another part of the country, we have women come in from all over the country to this very special show. Tens of thousands of women come out. Boy, do we all have a good time. It's a good place to make new friends, find out about all kinds of wonderful products and services, and just all in all, just to give a lot of time just to yourself. And again, that's March 23rd, 24th, and 25th, and then I'm also going to be in New York City. I've got a quick appearance and a trip there, so I will be there from the 29th through the 31st of this month. So if you know of anybody that would like to meet with me in person while I'm in New York City, I will have a little bit of a time window where that will be possible, and I will be doing appointments. So if anyone is interested in privately meeting with me, all you have to do is call me at my office, 800-872-8852. And that number is for any time, not just when I'm in New York, but 800-872-8852. Well, are you making plans for doing some traveling? It's getting close to that time of the year. The weather is going to be just gorgeous. And maybe you've decided there are some places you want to go to. Well, if you're going to be driving or however you choose to travel, you ought to have a few things that you are aware of relative to hotel bills. And this information was put together by Paul Lassley and Elizabeth Harriman. And these are just a couple of tips that you should be aware of. There's hotels that are adding some new terminologies. You may or may not be aware of this, to the bill. One of the terms is amenity fees and resort fees. Now, this is important to pay attention to because sometimes you are going to be astonished at how the taxes and all of these little fees that are added make your bill substantially larger than what you would expect. So, what you want to be aware of is what they are, and they're not going to be going away anytime soon. There's a study by PricewaterhouseCoopers that determined that such surcharges brought hotel operators more than $1.6 billion in extra revenue in 2005. So this is what you want to do to avoid what they call the sticker shock on your bill. When you're making your reservations, ask if there are any fees or surcharges beyond the room charge and local taxes. And that's very important. You need to ask about that. If you were not informed about a surcharge in advance, ask to have it removed. And in some states, hotels are required to disclose additional fees to their guests in advance. But you really have to watch this because you will find that you will go to different places in the country, and dependent on where you're staying, you look at your bill and you just go, what happened? It really is something you have to pay attention to. Also, if you're booking rooms for a group, ask to have the surcharges waived. And that's important because hotels often will accommodate that. And don't forget that if you're doing a lot of traveling, if you have a particular hotel chain you enjoy going to and wherever you are in the country, find out about their frequent guest program. Often chains will give members free use of the fitness center as well as other amenities, and membership also gives you more negotiating power if you need to have certain charges removed. Also, upgrade to a club floor. The room might be more expensive, but club floor perks often include free internet access, breakfast, and afternoon snacks. And charges are prevalent among luxury properties. So if you choose a mid-priced or a budget hotel, you might find that you're not going to have some of these things happening. Many don't charge extra for internet access or parking, and some even offer complimentary breakfast and use of their fitness centers. And I found in my traveling, and as it is increasing, that many of the hotels that I've stayed in that didn't have fitness centers, now they're starting to do it. And they're nothing really to get real excited about it, but there's a treadmill, and sometimes there, you know, is a Stairmaster or one of those elliptical units that is there because they are not in a position to have a full-scale gym, and then maybe even some free weights that you might want to work with. But it's good to know about that because that really can make a difference, especially if you are on a very intense schedule, if you're going to conferences and you'd like to be able to get some exercise in just because you're sitting all the time and your schedule is so intense. That's a good way to relax, too, when you have the opportunity. Another tip that I would like to share with you is when you are traveling, and this happened to me in New York City, I was charged for taking something out of what they had in the way of a basket that had, like, food bars in it, and I hadn't had one of them, and they were charging $3. Now, $3 isn't that much money, but I was charged for something that I did not eat, and to try to get it corrected was just absolutely unbelievably difficult. So if you're going to have a room, if you're staying in a place where they have food that's set out, where if you take a bar or whatever, and they count, they supposedly count all the time, you may ask for it to be removed from your room if you don't want to get a surprise charge. If you have your own stuff that you're bringing, and often that's what I do because there's certain foods that I want to have when I travel, and sometimes my schedule is a real busy one. So if you do that, and if you're in a hotel that has what I call the food baskets, you may want to ask if they will remove that so that there won't be any confusion if somebody says, well, gee, I see this wrapper in your trash can. I know this person ate something out of this basket, and you didn't. So just be aware of that. That's just one of the things that I had happen to me on a business trip. Just be a little savvy. But other than that, we have so many places that we can go to that we can just enjoy in this wonderful country of ours. I just think we are so privileged. It's just a lot of fun to travel. But just those are some tips for you. Also, by the way, if you want to give me a call and chat, telephone number is 877-876-5227 here in the U.S. If you want to call in from Canada, our toll-free number is 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. I just wanted to share a couple of comments with you by Paul and Sarah Edwards. They've been a guest on my shows in the past. These are two very savvy business people. And sometimes individuals will complain about how they are losing business. And Sarah and Paul had a few comments that I thought really bear passing along. And these are things that if you have kids, they need to understand the value of them. One, you want to do what you promise. And if you want to fail in business or if you really want to fail at anything, if you don't do what you promise to do, you're going to get into hot water. Also, being prompt and on time is so very, very important. Sarah said that many, many years ago, in fact, over 30 years ago, she and Paul had a major contract with the Army Corps of Engineers, and she said, my husband was always a multitasker. He just would try to do so many different things simultaneously and would try to squeeze in just one more item. And she said, we ended up being late. And the contracting officer came to us and said, that's it. No contract for you next year. He wouldn't tolerate the tardiness of what he was experiencing with her husband, Paul. So she said, we learned that valuable lesson. And I think that that is a very important one. And also, she said, managing your time is important. When you're busy, don't try to do everything for everybody. Say no. It's amazing how hard it is for us to utilize that little tiny word, two letters, N-O. When you cannot take on any more, you don't take on any more. You can discriminate about what you can choose to do. And that is very, very important. And I think it's something that's, again, it's a discipline in and of itself. Well, this is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break for just a moment. Don't you go away. We're going to be right back. And again, 877-876-5227 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little insight. Don't go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green. March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here's a telephone number that you can call in if you're in the U.S. of A, 877-876-5227. It's 877-876-5227. If you'd like to call in from Canada, telephone number is 888-810-8322. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then just let me tell you what I perceive about you as an individual, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you are desiring to have an answer to. Massage therapy is something that has been around for God knows how long. It's wonderful, and it is so healthy for us. Well, there was a mother, Jeannie Kennedy, who found that her dream of becoming that mom was going to be a reality where she had been told it wouldn't be. In fact, she was told that having her own baby was not going to happen. Just wasn't going to happen. And it was due to the fact that she had had to have surgery on her fallopian tubes. And that caused some problems, and it was related to an abscess and an infection that had been caused by her appendix bursting and the scar tissue that developed in each of her fallopian tubes. Well, it just wasn't going to enable her to get pregnant. And she, when she was married, and she just tried everything, they said, no, sorry, it's just not going to happen. You are just going to be infertile. That's all that's what's going to happen. Well, she decided she was going to check out on the internet some information, and she found an online infertility support group, and there was a particular posting on that page that really caught her attention. And it was at Clear Passage, and there were physical therapists who were using massage to break down scar tissue, unblocking fallopian tubes in as many as 61% of the patients. Well, she decided she was going to try it. Now, what they did, she was given therapeutic massage. Was a total of 20 hours over a period of 5 days, and it was very gentle but firm pressure that was applied to her pelvis. And she said the sensation was that of stretching. It was like everything inside was expanding, stretching. And she said she just absolutely felt great. And by golly, she went back to her doctors, and to their amazement, her fallopian tubes had opened up. The scar tissue had moved, gotten out of the way. And within a month after that, she was pregnant, and she had a little baby girl, and also she had a set of twins later on, twins Edward and Catherine. She said, I have three beautiful miracles that I was told I could not have. Now, how does this fertility massage work? Well, the therapy is designed to break adhesions, a type of scar tissue that can stretch across the fallopian tubes and prevent eggs from passing through. Now, a physical therapist, her name Belinda Wern, she co-founded Clear Passage, and their website is clearpassage.com, clearpassage.com. She and her husband decided this was something that they really wanted to help women with, and they review medical records, and then she very gently and slowly with the patient stretches the area until the adhesion gives way. And she said sometimes the women will say it feels like there's a bit of pain, discomfort, but it's a good feel, just a mild ache. And then once the adhesions are separated, the fallopian tubes become clear again. Now, massage is just something that can make any of us feel like $1 million. And if you're interested in finding out about a certified massage therapist, here is a website that you can go to. It's iwantamassage.com. iwantamassage.com. And there's, I'm sure, all kinds of different contacts that you can make. And what they find that massage has been able to do for people, one, it's helped people get healthier hair when the head is massaged. And barbershops in India do it on a regular basis. And I know my husband used to go to a Korean woman that would treat his hair or trim his hair. And he said one of his favorite things is when she would massage the scalp. And apparently in Korea that was something that was done very commonly. Also, when mom and oh, I hear a beep. I think we've got a caller. So let me just hold that thought there and we'll go to the caller. Hello, first name or initial, where are you calling from?
I'm Jackie and calling from Phoenix.
From Phoenix. Yes, Jackie. And let's see, I'm hearing a little bit of an echo, but that's okay. We'll do just fine. Now, Jackie, when I'm watching you in my mind, I'm seeing a disappointment. And when I look at the disappointment, I feel like perhaps after it occurs, you need to go out for a walk. And then you need to be aware of the fact that you have to think some things through. Jackie, I have to ask you, Do you have the internet on or the radio on loudly? Because I'm getting an echo.
I've turned the radio off.
Okay. All right. Because I'm hearing a very deep echo as I'm talking to you. So I just wanted to know if sometimes there's a feedback. Okay, dear. I want you to be aware that with the disappointment, the options of what has to be looked at need to be evaluated very carefully, and once you allow yourself to get through the disappointment, you're going to realize that this is an opportunity disguised in a unique way that's going to enable you to deal with the change that's coming up before June the 6th. Do you have a question for me?
Okay. I've got a couple of things that I'm starting. There are a couple of groups that I'm starting, and gosh, I'm wondering what this disappointment, if it's connected with a couple of things that I'm starting.
Well, now, what is it that you're starting, Jackie?
They're social groups. They're different. Two of them are just kinds of social groups where I'm galvanizing the community to join and interact with each other, that kind of thing.
Now you say, let me just stop you there for a minute, hon. You say there's more than one that you're doing.
Yeah.
And is it like maybe a dance class or cooking or something like this?
More conversation. They're conversational groups.
Conversational groups. Okay. So how often are you planning on doing this? If you're doing more than one, you've really got a big challenge in front of you. If you're doing more than one, are they in the same neighborhood? Are they in different locales? Are you having a team work with you on this? How have you got it set up?
I've got everything covered. I'm doing it pretty much on my own, and I do have some help with people that are interested in the nature of the groups. And so the routine and the scheduling of them are, you know, that's all covered. It's just when you had that disappointment, I was wondering, oh my gosh, I wonder what that's going to be about.
Well, what I would say to you is, when it occurs, and I think that this is going to be somewhat on a personal level with you. You're going to take it in a personal way. So what I would say is, it's time to grow from it. So when it happens, if you can just allow the disappointment to run its course, don't try to make it a big, big deal, because I don't think it has to be that big a deal, but I think it is going to have to run its course.
Okay.
And I'm out of time, dear.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Jackie. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we ran out of time, and it's been a delight to share with you. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about Procarin. If you know of anyone with MS, you're going to want to listen to this show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. God bless. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.